Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
Hello, Mark. How are you today?
Good, Yuri. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's fantastic. So I would like to start off with by asking how do you describe what it is that you do?
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder what my wife would describe what I do. But all right, so I'm the host and producer of WLIE Sports Talk New York, which is a radio show that airs every Sunday night. And through that, I actually ended up writing two sports books as well. I cover the New York Mets and the New York Rangers, and I'm credentialed with all the four major sports. So that's pretty much what I do.
Wow, that's awesome. Did you go to school then to be in radio, or how did that evolution happen?
Yes, I actually did go to school for communication arts way back when. Did have a job out of college in San Diego for what's pretty much the equivalent of what we would consider News 12 or Fios News 1. And basically at that time, I was very serious with my girlfriend, who would become my fiance and would later on become my wife of over 30 years. And looking at what the salary was going to be, I kind of decided, you know what, I don't think I'm going to be able to raise a family on this, and this is not, at this time, not what I'd want to do. So I went into the business world, worked for many years, had two children, coached my two children in various sports, travel baseball for my son, basketball for my daughter, and then when they went off to college, I kind of went back to the communication arts thing, and my wife, who is an educator, had one of her teachers over who was a technology teacher, and showed me this thing called, at that time, Ustream. And you had the ability to basically broadcast the world just by turning on your MacBook and, just logging onto this program. So I went back to my roots and did like a sports talk program on the internet for a few years. Had a decent following. People from Inside Hockey asked me if I wanted to cover the Rangers. So I started writing for them. Someone at ESPN suggested I get on some local radio, and that's where I've been now for the last 10 years.
Oh, wow. That's a great story. So I'm curious then. So with the early days on the, for your show on the internet, how did you build up your audience base that way? Was it because of a website that you had or people you were reaching out to? How did you do that?
It's a combination. I did start a website. I basically, really kind of every morning on my commute to my regular job, went on like a fishing expedition, searched out people that I was interested in interviewing, sent emails, got emails back. And the first two or three weeks, we had Gordie Howe on the show. I had, Phil Esposito, Sugar Ray Leonard, all people that I always wanted to interview. And from that, we started getting a big following. People would watch that. It was kind of open-ended, so it also had a chat room in it, so lots of sports fans started getting into it. I was one of the few that really covered the Rangers in the area, and people love hockey, so we did build a very big hockey following. And through Facebook and Twitter, just got the word out, and friends told other friends, and that's basically how it morphed into getting a press credential for the Rangers. And through that, people that would watch the show on the internet would also then hear my voice in post games asking John Tortorella or Wayne Vigneault questions. And so the following just continued to grow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. So the transition then from what you were doing on your own then to being on, another version of the radio, how did that transition happen? So did you go approach stations and tell them what how'd that work?
Initially, I was approached by ESPN, ESPN Radio, local radio in New York, who evidently they track certain things. And they had, when I went in for a meeting with them, they said, which I had no clue, they said, in the last two seasons, you've asked Coach John Tortorella in the post game, you know, 17 questions over the course of the season. Of the 17 questions, 14 times his answer to you was quoted in all three local newspapers. They said, so you're asking the right questions, and we look for people like that. And at that point, I was not ready. I'm still not ready to do this every day. Mm-hmm. The reason why I love what I'm doing and the way I'm doing it is because I can pick and choose who I want to speak to and follow my passion. And I think that's why it's been successful. I think that's why people mm-hmm. still listen to us. If I had to do it every day, I don't think the passion would be there. So it was a very mm-hmm. interesting, you know, conversation with them, and they said, you should be on radio. And that's when I started exploring local area, you know, radio stations out here and came across one. And that's where we've been for, like I said, I think at the radio station, we've been there 8 years. We've been doing the show for 10.
Okay. Wow, that's great. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So then with the radio itself, then, how did that transition into your book deals or actually your writing career?
Because of the 8 years of doing it and 2 years on the internet, 8 years on terrestrial radio, every week I would come home, every day I'd come home, and there'd be five or six different books waiting for me. And a lot of our guests were authors. And growing up, which was also a trip for me. I mean, growing up, one of the big thrills for me is I actually looked at my sixth grade book, you know, autograph book, you know, when you move on from sixth grade into the junior high school, and it's got the front page where it lists your favorites. And so one of them, you know, it says career, and I wrote a career in sports. Favorite author was Phil Pepe, and the book was Of You From the Rim by Phil Pepe. Another one of my favorite authors growing up was Peter Golenbach, and I had the opportunity to have them both on our show numerous times. So that was pretty cool. I mean, from being in sixth grade and then years later interviewing them. So I've always had an appreciation for authors from, you know, my early childhood. I did take a lot of creative writing when I was taking communication arts years ago, kind of got away from it. And then seeing all these books, a friend of mine in the press box, Howie Carpin, who is the official scorer for both the Mets and the Yankees, and he's been on radio for many years as well, he said, why don't you write a book? I said, Howie, you know me. I'm all about the process. I'm more about speaking to people and interviewing and doing the research for interviews. I'm not so much, sitting down at a typewriter and doing the discipline that it takes to do a book. He said, well, why don't we do it together? So I said, all right. I said, he goes, you come up with an idea. So I came home one day and I had come across this book that they sent us, and it was called Facing Mariano. And basically what it was a book about, I think it was about 150 baseball players that had hit against Mariano Rivera. And basically it was just their reaction of what it was like to face him, how they did against him. I told Howie, I said, I can do a book like that, but I need a topic. So it was actually the 10th anniversary of the NHL shootout. I said, why don't we do a history of the shootout and really get in depth of how, you know, the penalty shot came about and how it morphed into what we now know as an NHL shootout. And from that, I interviewed about 200 people, whether it be players, coaches, general managers, announcers, people that cover the game. And, you know, I pitched it to the person that actually, the publisher that did Facing Mariano. They loved it, and they gave us the book deal, and that was the first one. And I loved the process. I loved doing it, and it was really, you know, great doing all those interviews, so I kind of had the bug to do another one, and I didn't know what it was going to be on. And my wife and I were in the midst of downsizing and moving, and we were getting our house ready for sale, and we had this wall unit that basically – was built when we first moved in the late 80s in our house. And we had to redo the floor, so we took down the wall unit. And as we took down the wall unit, I had all these Betamax tapes from the late 80s stored on top of this, you know, break front, and they all came crashing down. And I reached down, and the first thing I picked up was opening day 1985, Mets versus Cardinals. And this was a week after Ralph Kiner passed away, the legendary New York Mets announcer. I run into my garage, and believe it or not, I still had a Betamax deck. I hooked it up to my TV. I put the Betamax tape in. I fast-forwarded. I kept on saying, please be there, please be there, please be there. And then at the end of the game, there's Mookie Wilson and Gary Carter on Kiner's Corner. So I said, that's it. I want to do a book on Kiner's Corner. So that next morning, I wrote the publisher and pitched the idea, and they loved it. And that one has been a lot more successful than our first one, and really was a great project to do.
Well, that's great. So with that, so with your books then, are you primarily the one who is marketing and selling the books? Is it through the publisher? Do they have a team that does that? How do you move books?
It's a combination of the two. The publishers kind of depend on the authors to get the word out.
Okay.
Because of the kind of, well, the NHL book was very good. I mean, I was able to get on in between periods of a Ranger game on ESPN radio because the people up in the press box know me, so they, you know, and NHL Network and Sirius XM mm-hmm. radio. So that was pretty successful that way. The Kiner book had a much broader range of people that really wanted to talk about it. So it was on television with locally with Steve Overmeyer of CBS, Ed Randall talking baseball, WOR. They actually, during the season, whenever there was a Met rain delay, we were one of three or four interviews they played during the Met rain delays. So, yeah, and Phil Mushnick wrote a little blurb about it in the paper. Neil Best did a two-page article on it in Newsday. So we did get a lot of publicity for that one.
Oh, that's great. So I'm curious, because you're such a busy schedule, how did you find time to write the book? Was there a certain rituals that you do or routines every single day, or how did that happen?
Well, the hard part was setting up the interviews. So that was the first thing.
Okay.
I basically made a list. The hockey one was much easier because the hockey one was written during the time the Rangers were making their run to Stanley Cup. And since I have press credentials, I'm at every single game. And during the Stanley Cup playoffs, every single executive is right there. So in between periods, I was able to knock out six or seven interviews every night. The Met one was a little different at the Kiner's Corner because it was also part detective work. So first, I kind of made a schedule for the first month, just laying out who I wanted to try and contact, how to contact them. Once I had that, after the first month, then the second month, I moved into setting up the interviews, doing the interviews. The third month was basically transcribing, and then, you know, Howie and I would get together and we'd piece together how we wanted it to come about in the book form. So I wouldn't say, you know, everything was blocked out, but mentally I kind of had a roadmap of where I wanted to go.
Okay. Okay, that sounds like a great idea. And then, so are you in the process of writing another book, or are you going to stop it too?
You know what? Originally, I said that was it, and then because you know it occupied a lot of my free time and I enjoyed it, I actually I pitched a series of four books. It's to the publisher, and he's moved it up the ladder. So we hope to hear this week, and we might be doing four more for them.
Hey, that's great! Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
So, you know, you've done a lot of amazing things and kind of, you know, jumped to a couple of different careers. Besides what you learned in college, were there additional books that you read or mentors that you reached out to that helped you make the transitions and do what you're doing now?
I think what it boils down to is over the course of the 2 years on the internet, every week doing a show and interviewing different people, it inspires you. You speak to different people in the sports world, different authors. Ross Bernstein was one. He does a series of books. One of the books was Wearing the Sea, which was all about, you know, captains and leadership abilities. Fran Tarkenton's book, Every Day is Game Day, is also about, you know, having a vision and the different people in his life that inspired him. And, you know, I was able to tap into a lot of them, you know, because once they were on the show, I remained somewhat friends with them and I could call upon them just to bounce things off of. So that was much, I think the show helped build that foundation for me and being able to speak to people that, you know, were somewhat mentors, but more just in the way they held themselves and, you know, went about their business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's great. So I'm curious then with all the people that you've spoken with, what would you say has been the best advice or best piece of wisdom that you've ever received?
Wow, that's a great question. It's kind of interesting because it was at my son's college orientation, actually. It was something that they were telling the incoming freshman class there. And it's kind of something that stuck with me ever since that day. And it was basically telling all the students that, you know, they're all there and they all have this vision of what they're going to be and they're pigeonholed and this is their major. And, you know, they're going to focus on their major and they're going to get a career in that major. And that's what they're there for. But they said that at that point, and my son's out of college for many years already, at that point, they said that the average American worker will change jobs 6 to 8 times in their career. And out of that 6 to 8 times, there's going to be industries that they're going to be working on in that haven't even been invented yet. So the key was for them that whenever they're in a class or whenever they're in a situation, that you can have an opportunity to learn something that you might not think pertains to you, learn it, because you never know when you're going to come back to it and it might be useful to you. So it's always about paying attention and listening to people and learning. For me, that was the key.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's wonderful advice. I've noticed that myself in my own life. Just random things that I learned, you know, from little bits here and there have come in handy. So that's definitely fantastic advice.
Yeah.
So if I'm not sure if you ever get contacted these days by you know, aspiring people who want to follow in your footsteps, but if there was somebody who wanted to whether start their own radio program and work that way, what advice would you give them to do right now?
Basically to follow your passion, because if you do something you love, it's not a job and you will be successful at it. If you dread what you're doing and you're just doing it because it's something you think you want to do, that's a problem. So for me to sit down and spend an entire day crafting 3 or 4 interviews for my show, I just dig it. I love it. And it fuels me because it's the passion. So it's always about following your passion, and whatever your passion is, even if it's just for a hobby, just do it and throw yourself into it and good things will happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, thank you. Thank you again, Mark. This has been absolutely fantastic. I really appreciate your time on this. If the listeners wanted to hear more about what you're doing and listen to your radio show, what is the best way to follow you?
A couple of ways. They can friend request me on Facebook, just as Mark Roseman. They can go to sportstalknylive.com and see the website. Every one of our interviews from our shows are archived there each and every week. The show streams not only, obviously, the radio show, but it also streams over Facebook Live as well.
Okay.
There's just so many different ways to get a hold of us. We have a Facebook page, a fan page as well. So Twitter is also @SportsTalkNY. So it's all over the place.
Oh, that's great. Actually, I'm curious. So how do you see, I guess, the evolution of your show going? Is it like, do you think that the radio version is where you'll continue? Will you continue to do more of the Facebook Live and live stream events like that? How do you see it happening?
I think that in conjunction with the two, because first of all, it's very interesting because the major sports teams will not just credential internet. They still, because with the internet, you don't know what level of editors there are there and the parameters. As when you're on radio, you're governed by FCC law and they know that there's a certain level of professionalism they're going to get. So
okay.
I think we're going to continue on the radio, but while we're in the radio station, we do stream it through Facebook Live as well as Ustream. So it's two different platforms, and it also streams over the net as audio only as well. So it's throughout the United States every night. Not every night. I mean, every Sunday night when we're on the air.
Sure. Okay. Oh, cool. That's good to know. I was curious on how like that's constantly evolving, especially with the internet and how things are going, but that's good to hear. Cool. Well, again, thank you so much for your time, Mark. I really appreciate it. And I will put all of the links to your website and your information up in the show notes.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Advance Your Art podcast. If you truly enjoy this, please head over to iTunes and download additional interviews, as well as hit the subscribe button so that as new episodes come out, they will automatically go to your phone. Also, while you're there, please give us a 5-star rating, which helps our iTunes rankings. If you'd like to see more information, head on over to advanceyourart.com, where you can find information about each of the guests, as well as projects that I am working on. And always, if you're in the Boston area, please feel free to reach out. I can be found on Twitter @YCataldo, or you can email me, Yuri@advanceyourart.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day.